A warm welcome to our listeners today. Today's expert is Alexandra Livett, and she's going to be sharing some great content with you. The topic of today's interview is New Job, New You. A bit about Alexandra. Alexandra is nationally recognised business and workplace author and speaker, a syndicated columnist for the Wall Street Journal and Metro US. Alexandra has authored several books, including the best-selling They Don't Teach Corporate in College, How You Score That Gig, Success for Hire, Millennial Tweet, 140 Bite-Sized Lessons for Managing the Millennials, and New Job, New You. Alexandra makes frequent national media appearances and has been featured in thousands of outlets, including the New York Times, US Today, National Public Radio, ABC News, Fox News, CNBC, the Associated Press, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, and Fortune. Known as one of the premier spokespeople of her generation, she regularly speaks at conferences, universities, and corporations, including Campbell's Soup, the Federal Reserve Bank, McDonald's, Microsoft, and Whirlpool, on issues facing modern professionals. Alexandra is a member of the Business Roundtable Springboard Project, which is advising the Obama administration on current workplace issues. Alexandra, hello and welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm really looking forward to interviewing you today, and I know that you're going to be sharing some great content with our audience. For those of our audience who may not know you, can you share a few words about yourself?
Sure. Well, I got into the business of career advice through a rather long-winded path. I graduated college as one of those high-achieving students who had gotten straight A's all my life, and I thought that I would go out into the business world and be a VP of PR by the age of 30 with no problem. And when I entered the work world, I really had a rude awakening. My first boss disliked me so much that I thought I had killed her mother in a past life. It was really awful. And she would call me into her office and ring me out for infractions that were real, infractions that were imagined, you name it. And I wish I could say that the problem was just that one person, but really I had an overarching problem making sure my work was perceived positively and making a good impression on the people that I worked with. And as a result, I actually went through several jobs in my early career with little to no success, watching people with half my work ethic get promoted ahead of me. And eventually I put myself under a microscope and I said, you know what, the problem has to be me. And I started taking personal development classes and learning about the importance of things like perception and making sure your work is visible and making sure people have a good impression of you. And that was when things finally started turning around for me and I got my first promotion. And that was when I said to myself, you know what, someone needs to teach 20-somethings exactly what they need to do to be successful in the business world, because college success doesn't necessarily translate to work world success, and it's not the same skill set, and you really have to learn very specific lessons on what you need to do to achieve. And so I decided to go out and write that book, and that was where my first book, They Don't Teach Corporate in College, A 20-somethings Guide to the Business World, came in. Now, originally, I just intended that book to be a side project, and I would go on with my marketing communications career, which, ironically, had finally started picking up. But much to my surprise, the book did well, and all of a sudden I was getting asked to do speaking engagements and go across the country and talk to young employees about what they could do to be more successful in business. And that was how I got my start as a career and workplace expert. And over the years, I have moved from just the 20-something space into advising people in general on how to find meaningful work and how to be successful once they find that perfect job. And I've now been doing it for about 5 years, and I'm really having a great time and hopefully helping a lot of people, especially in the last few years when things have gotten a little bit dicey.
So, Alexandra, how many people have you helped?
How many people have I helped? I'm not sure. I mean, I have sold about 30,000 copies of They Don't Teach Corporate in College, which is pretty good for a paperback original book. And I hear from people every week who have read one or more of the books and have taken something away from it. And I'm not sure exactly how many people that is, but really, if I can hear from one person a day who has been able to avoid a mistake that I made in my early career as a result of reading one of my books, then in my mind, I've done my job. So I really am pleased with the way things have gone, and I just hope to be able to have the opportunity to help even more people in the years to come.
And have you helped to transform people's lives?
Well, I think that I'm really part of the new generation of career advisors that is telling people that you don't have to stay in a job just for a paycheck. It really is okay to go out and pursue something that's meaningful to you. You spend so much time at work, and really it's in your best interest to find something that you feel at least somewhat passionate about. I think I'm a little different, though, in the sense that I encourage people to take a rational, measured approach to career change rather than just taking a plunge and up and quitting your job one day and risking everything. I think that's the way that I did my own career change, and it's the way that I advocate others do it as well.
What prompted you? You covered some of this when you shared a bit more about yourself, but what prompted you to write about career change?
Well, even before the economy tanked, career change was really the topic that I was being asked most about, when, particularly when I would go to college campuses and go to association conferences, so like third-party organizations would host a conference, and people would always ask about career change. And there were a few books on the topic already, but what I noticed about them was that they featured stories from people who were like top 1% executives or celebrities. And I couldn't personally relate to these people because I didn't understand their motivations, and I didn't really feel like there was any chance of me becoming that successful. And I wanted to write a career change book about normal people that actually went out into the world and did real things and achieved what I thought was a realistic level of success, so that just the average person could say, you know what, I could go and do that. I could do that tomorrow, and I could have similar results.
I guess for many of our listeners, they're feeling dissatisfied with their current job, and they're in that place where they are considering making a career change. What's the first thing that you would recommend they do?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend people do is exploration. You know, finding a career that's going to fulfill you personally and professionally requires some amount of trial and error. And it's also important to have realistic expectations of the dream career. You know, the people that I profile in New Job, New You, they do love their jobs, but even they don't believe there's a such thing as the perfect work situation. Every job has its ups and downs and aspects that we love and aspects that we don't love. And so that would be just the one thing that I would keep in mind before you even start the process. And then just taking the time to really get to know yourself and what you like and what you don't like in a work environment. And this could be as simple as asking yourself self-assessment questions, like what type of work would make me want to sit in traffic just for hours just for the privilege of showing up, or going on the Bureau of Labor Statistics Occupational Outlook Handbook website, which is, by the way, www.bls.gov/OOH, and perusing the different careers that they've got listed there, and whether those careers are up and coming, whether those careers will involve extra education, whether it's something you can go out and try tomorrow, whether volunteering is a good idea, and really just kind of get a sense of the types of things that make you excited and make you want to get up in the morning and go to work. And take the time to test drive as many opportunities as you can without making any kind of firm commitment, like deciding to go back to school or deciding to quit your job and take another one. Because the truth is, you don't want to find yourself in the same situation that you are in now, which is having a job you do not feel strongly about. You might as well keep the job that you have and do this amount of exploration with as little risk as possible.
Alexandra, for the benefit of our audience, could you give out that URL again, please?
Yes, it's www.bls for Bureau of Labor Statistics .gov/OOH, and that's for the Occupational Outlook Handbook. I am still on that site, even though I've changed my career. I love to just poke around that site and learn all of these fun details about these careers, because you really do get the inside scoop, and I think that site provides details that a lot of other sites don't.
Thank you for sharing that resource with our listeners. One of the things you mentioned is in terms of test driving. Can you elaborate a bit more on that, please?
Sure. I mean, I think any opportunity you have to see what a job is like from a day-to-day perspective is extremely valuable. And this can be by volunteering. I think that's one of the best ways, because nonprofit organizations especially are always looking for extra help. And you might have the opportunity to have responsibilities in that volunteer organization that you wouldn't get if you were, for example, entry level in a new career. But you really might get your hands wet and be able to experience what that career would be like. So I think volunteering is one of the best ways. Doing an internship, more and more adults are actually doing internships. If this is something that you can afford to do, because many of them are unpaid, I highly recommend doing it. If you can take extra coursework on the weekends, if you can job shadow, if you can just go to, let's say you're thinking of starting a business. If one of your friends has a business, maybe you could go to her retail store, for example, for a day and learn what really goes into managing a business. Because I think a lot of people have this idealistic view of what entrepreneurship really is. And by experiencing it hour to hour, day to day, you can really get a sense of if that lifestyle is something that's for you. And I recommend doing all of these things, as I mentioned, while you're still employed in your current job, so that you can just continue to collect data and continue to investigate the types of jobs that you might actually feel strongly about and be able to pursue a living at.
Alexandra, what have you noticed stops people from changing career, despite the fact that they feel demotivated, frustrated, etc.?
Well, I think what stops people is fear. And I think rightfully so, because when people think of career change, they can think of this drastic step. Oh, I have to quit my job tomorrow and put my family's livelihood on the line in order to find passionate work, and that's just not realistic. And if you think about it that way, then it makes sense that you wouldn't want to do it. And that's why I always advocate that people look at career change as a very, very gradual process. This is what I did. I was employed in my marketing communications career in some capacity until 2008, even though I wrote my first book in 2004. And that was because I was never totally sure that I would be able to make a living as a writer. I was never totally sure that the speaking would take off. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a financial cushion in case things didn't work out as quickly or as well as I thought. And so I think what people need to look at is, what can I do a little bit at a time to drive my career forward? Is there a small step that I can take? And an example is, with New Job, New You, I offer a free career change webinar. Now, the webinar is 60 minutes long. It's something that you can listen to over your lunch break, after hours. It's something that's a very, very small commitment, but you can learn a lot from a webinar like that, that can help you take little steps, things that you can do every day to move your career forward while you're still currently employed. And I suggest that you look at your reinvention that way, instead of looking at it as this drastic, life-altering change that is very scary to make and not necessarily practical.
So how can people overcome their fear of change?
Well, I think that people can overcome the fear of change by not looking at it as such a big change. I mean, it's hard. Human beings don't like change. So if you're looking at something drastic, then I think you're probably going to be more gun-shy about it. Whereas if you're looking at it as something small that you can do that really isn't going to affect your life significantly one way or the other at the moment, then you can gain some momentum a little bit at a time. And the more momentum that you gain, the more excited you're going to be. And so you're going to want to take bigger and bigger steps over time. But just by starting small, I think, is really the ticket there.
And one of the things that you mention in your book is about motivations. So why is it important for our listeners to consider their motivations for making a career change?
Well, I think this is a great question. And this is one of the things that I wanted to explore in New Job, New You, because how you go about a career change really depends on your unique circumstances. And some of the motivations that I explored are, for one, family. And that's when you really do need to have work-life balance, because you've got either children that you're caring for or elderly parents that you have to consider. And that's going to affect your career choice. Independence, we mentioned briefly, is a big one. When people want to have their own business or become entrepreneurs, they want to work for themselves. They don't want to work for someone else. Then there's one that I learned more about over the course of writing the book, but isn't really talked about a lot, and that's learning. People who want to go back to school just because they love to learn, they want to master a new skill set, they want to just They're very curious. They're very bookish. And so that's a reason sometimes that people change careers. Money is a very underrated motivation. It's nothing to be ashamed about. Some people want to change careers because they want to increase their earning potential. Nothing wrong with that. Then, of course, we hear a lot about passion when people have something they really yearn to do with all their heart. They want to find a career that will match that passion. And similar to that is talent. When you have, for example, a great musical talent that you have that you've been kind of putting on the back burner. I talked to one person who was an expert in comedy who wanted to become a comedian. That's something that can cause people to want to change their career, to pursue that talent. And then finally, setbacks, something we've heard a lot about in the last couple of years, unfortunately. People who have gotten laid off or fired or have had something, unfortunately, negative happen to them in their life that has caused them to reevaluate the career that they're in. And I think all of those motivations are valid, and you really do want to consider what your motivation is before deciding the move that you should make in terms of a career change, because there are different strategies that you're going to undertake depending on what your motivation is.
Alexandra, for those of our listeners who are feeling stuck, what actions can they take so that they can reconnect with their motivations for making a career change?
Well, I think if you pick up a copy of New Job, New You, we've got a quiz in the very beginning that allows people to assess their motivation. So, for example, in the family section, you might ask yourself, you know, what does my family need from me that I'm currently not getting, that they're currently not getting from them? What types of career would allow me to have the types of time and experiences with my family that I'm not having right now? So it's really asking yourself a series of questions when it comes to each motivation to see if any of them ring true. And what we talk about in the book is if you've got a certain amount of yes answers, then that might in fact be your motivation. And if it is your motivation, here are some steps that you can take to actually make that career change in, as we've said, a rational and measured way.
You also mentioned that for each of the motivations, there's a different strategy. Can you expand on that a bit more for the benefit of our listeners, please?
Sure. Well, for example, if you're making a career change to pursue a career where you're going to have increased earning potential, then your strategy for looking at new careers is going to be different than, let's say, if you're pursuing a career as a result of a talent. And it could be different, for example, for money, you're going to be looking for a company specifically that has a good profitability ratio, a career that is known to have a very quick upward trajectory, that doesn't necessarily have a lot of work-life balance, but is really focused on making as much income as possible. And if you're pursuing a career based on talent, well, you're going to be trying to assess how likely is it that you'll be able to make a living with that particular talent? You'll be wanting to talk to people who are making a living at that talent and find out their strategies and what they're doing to be successful. And money is not going to be as much of a focus. You're going to probably have to put income on the back burner, especially for a while, as you're getting things up and running in that talent. And, of course, there are differences with these motivations in terms of whether you're going to be working for yourself, whether you're going to be working for other people, the level of involvement you need other people to have. So it just really depends on your unique situation. And I think that's what I'm hoping that people get out of New Job, New You, is that career change doesn't just have one strategy. Oh, I'm going to change my career. Here's, you know, A, B, C, what I'm going to do. It really, really depends on your very specific situation, and you have to take time at the very beginning to analyze that situation and understand it a bit better before you proceed.
In your book, you talked to a lot of real people who went through some real-life career reinventions in preparation for their change. So what's the most interesting story that you heard?
Well, I certainly heard a lot of interesting and inspirational stories. As I was talking to people and then writing up their anecdotes after the fact, I really got emotional. And this is not something that's typical for me, but it's just that I really, the stories of these real people who went through setbacks and went through hardships in order to pursue their dreams, so it really resonated with me and recall some of the own struggles that I've had and how I've overcome a lot of challenges. And it really meant quite a bit to me. And I heard a different inspirational stories, but the one that comes to mind most readily is that of Jerry. He was someone who graduated from Harvard Divinity School and became a minister. But as Jerry progressed in his ministry career, he began to doubt his calling, which you can imagine for a clergyman, that's kind of difficult. And he realized that the aspect of his job that he felt most passionate about was engaging in communication and marketing activities. And these marketing activities were designed to encourage people to feel more positively toward the church. And this was something that Jerry felt very strongly about, as opposed to, you know, communing with God or even giving sermons. And so he actually decided to change careers and become a public relations executive. Well, you can imagine what public relations agencies thought of a minister becoming a PR guy. They thought that it was kind of ridiculous. Well, he was able to creatively spin some of his relevant skills from the ministry, and he secured interviews with a couple of PR agencies and said, hey, look, I've gotten all this experience in communicating a strategy for formulating a more positive perception of the church. So I've got all the skills that are necessary. And he actually ended up becoming a VP of a PR agency. He had all of those skills intact. And so what this story says to me is that it's possible to accumulate relevant transferable skills in any career that you have and bring them forward and make them relevant in your new career. So you would never think that someone who is a minister, for example, could become a PR guy, but he made that happen, and it was very inspirational to me, and I hope that it is to readers as well.
Oh, it sounds very inspirational. And the other thing that's kind of like going through my mind, and something I would like to ask you about, is mindset. There must have been something about Jerry's mindset in order to be successful.
Yes, I mean, I think that he is a very naturally positive person and said, you know what, I'm going to make it relevant. Even if people don't see the immediate connection between the ministry set of skills and the PR set of skills, I'm going to convince them. He went in, he was enthusiastic, he was driven, he was confident. I think confidence has a lot to do with it. If you go into an interview and you convince those people that you do have the relevant skills, and I think they're just more likely to believe it versus if you are kind of wishy-washy and say, well, I'm not really sure, you know, I haven't had any direct experience in this career, but, you know, you've got to show them that you are capable. And mindset is a very critical part of that, and just having the belief in yourself that you can do this. And I think this takes practice. I mean, easier said than done. I don't want to be sitting here on this call and saying that this is easy stuff. I mean, it requires a lot of practice and a lot of self-talk and a lot of support from friends and family who are behind you in terms of what you're doing. And hopefully with all of that support, you have the courage to be able to move forward.
Do you think in this present climate that anyone can make it through their working life without reinventing themselves?
Not really. I think that you have to reinvent yourself, even if you're staying in your current career. If you're not going to change your career, you're always having to acquire new skills to stay marketable. You have to be on top of your industry. You have to see ahead in terms of what are the developments that are coming down the pike and how can you best be prepared for those. So I think that everyone in the workforce, whether they're changing careers or not, needs to be prepared to reinvent themselves. And I think that the truth is we do change as we go through life. And a lot of times one career is not going to fulfill us for our entire life. So we have to be prepared to change into something that's more conducive to, for example, a changing lifestyle. You might, for example, do one career in your 20s, but then realize that when you're ready to raise a family, that career doesn't necessarily work as well. And so what I recommend to people, and we've mentioned this already, is to accumulate as wide a variety of transferable skills as possible, things that you can take from one career to another that will always be relevant, things like we were talking about Jerry and his marketing and public relations skills from the church. Those are transferable skills. Finance, sales, client relations. Those are all things that no matter what kind of career you have, those skills will be relevant.
And just staying with that a moment, there's something here about attitude. And in your work, have you noticed a difference between the attitudes of younger workers and more mature workers in terms of how they approach career change?
Well, I think younger workers are a lot more confident. Younger workers have been brought up to believe that they can do anything they like, that they can find meaningful work at a young age, that they don't necessarily need to pay their dues, that they can just go in and start to achieve and contribute in a meaningful way right away. And so they just got that natural confidence that we were talking about before. Whereas people who are maybe mid-career or have been in a career for many, many years, they might be a little bit more gun-shy and hesitant to make a change. They've a lot of times got ties, they've got families, they've got financial responsibilities that make it very difficult for them to make changes. And so I think that they're naturally a little bit more hesitant and they're not as likely to take the steps that they need to take to find that meaningful work. And I actually recommend that everybody do it, whether you're young, whether you're old, again, just taking those small steps at a time. I talk to people who are 70, 80 years old who want to have a new career, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. If you can still work and you're looking to keep your brain and your mind active, then you should absolutely be looking for something to do that's meaningful to you. It's never too late.
That's something I certainly believe, that it's never too late to change career. How can a job hopper know that they're a job hopper?
I love this question. This is one of my favorites. The truth is, there is a fine line between changing careers to do something that's more meaningful to you and recognizing that you're not going to be happy no matter where you are. I think that you need to look at your pattern. If you find yourself changing careers every year because you are never satisfied with what you're doing, then you have to take a step back and see, you know, is it the job itself or is it my attitude toward the job that's the problem? And the truth is, in every kind of job situation that you have, you should be able to take away some sort of meaningful learning experience. And if you've got a pattern of just feeling really frustrated and miserable in a job and then giving up after 6 months to a year, for example, then it's time to take a look at yourself and see what can you be doing differently to make the experience a more positive and valuable one for yourself. And I really do think that at some point you should be spending at least a couple of years in each career to really get a foothold in it and to learn what it means to actually have responsibilities in that career. Because if you keep changing all the time, you're going to just keep landing at the entry level and never really get a sense of what that job is truly like when you have some experience under your belt. So I would say for job hoppers, you got to look at your pattern and see, have you had, you know, four different careers in 5 years? And if you have, it's time to take a look at yourself.
Alexandra, thanks for sharing some great and valuable content with our listeners. Sorry, I talked over you. Could you say that again, please?
Oh, no, I was just saying thank you.
Oh. Now, if people want to find out more about you, your products and services, where do they go?
Sure. Well, feel free to visit my website, www.alexandralevitt.com, for information on all the books. And if you're interested in career change in particular, you can visit www.newjobnewyou.com. As I mentioned, with every book purchase, you get access to the free 60-minute career change webinar, which offers some of those step-by-step strategies that we briefly mentioned before. And you can also hear from the legendary author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, who makes a guest appearance on that webinar. So we'd love to have you. If you have feedback or you have career change stories, please email me. I'd always love to hear from readers and love to hear what people are doing to find meaningful work today and be successful there.
Alexandra, thank you. Just for the benefit of our listeners, can you repeat those websites again, please?
Sure. That's Alexandra Levitt, www.alexandralevitt.com, L-E-V-I-T, and www.newjobnewyou.com.
Thank you. Alexandra, thank you ever so much for taking the time to be on the call today. And I also want to thank our listeners for taking the time to listen in. Thank you.